You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
Good morning, Gamecock fans. Today is Wednesday, March 18th, the year of our Lord, 2026. Welcome to Coffee with J.C. Sherbert, Season 2. Glad to have all of you along for this ride today. Appreciate everyone out there listening and caring about what I have to say. It's hard to care these days, right? And you folks have been a loyal audience to this and ITG and everything else I've been involved with. Seems like other media outlets are doing okay, so appreciate you not abandoning ship with us, although it does look like with Gamecock baseball specifically that a lot of you have just checked out, and that's fine. I don't blame you. You know, I'm normally one that's like stick to it, you know, and the night is young, the season is young, but I mean 22 games and it's 79 games of the pulmonary era. There's not a lot of hope, with the caveat that baseball sometimes will humble your opinions just like it humbles players and coaches. Not that I believe there's any evidence for that, or that I, you know, you got to have faith sometimes, right? In life, you don't need evidence to have faith, but I don't know that I have any faith. You know, I've lost faith. It's a line from Braveheart. All men lose faith. And I don't blame you. Last night was sad. Or yesterday afternoon was sad. It was sad from the start. You know, you look at the stands. It goes viral. You compare that to Auburn. Auburn was playing a top 10, top 5 Georgia Tech team. And that's an old rivalry back in the day in football, too. But, you know, you look at their ballpark, how alive it is. And, you know, Founders second to none. When things are even going halfway well, doesn't have to be super duper, right? You don't have to have a College World Series team for Gamecock baseball fans to show up. It's a baseball school. People love it. And there's nobody there. It's sad. All year, on the broadcast last night, and I did not listen to the radio broadcast. I was doing some things at the TV on. By the way, shout out to Grayson Griner. He's been on our show many times. That guy's a stud in the booth. Just appreciate him calling it like he sees it and all that good stuff. What a great player he was as well. Don't know Grayson all that well. JB does, obviously, but certainly have enjoyed when he's been on our shows and enjoy his broadcast. Certainly love Derek and Stewart and, you know, the radio broadcast, you know, those guys too. But good job by him. I saw some stuff on social media about that last night, about Grayson and, you know, just trying to find some kind of positive. But it was embarrassing. It's the fourth straight loss to Charlotte. And they didn't all come under Paul Maneri, obviously. But, you know, things are going okay. You're up 5-2. And then does the floodgates open? There's errors. There's a lot of slumping of shoulders. Once again, they didn't have the offense to get back in it. They lost 11-8. And they're now 12-10. I'm afraid – I'm afraid I have some disturbing news for you. Here are the next 12 games. 3 games against number 4 Arkansas this weekend. We're not even at the SEC home opener. We're not even there yet. I mean, it's still a young season, right? And already you just know. It's not a feeling either. And I'm one of these, it's like, well, feelings come and go when it comes to sports. You know, facts or analysis is the better way to make opinions and decide things. with scenarios included. But it's more than a feeling. RIP to the lead singer of Boston, who passed away, unfortunately, recently. But more than a feeling, right? So, three games against number four Arkansas this weekend. Then it's up to Charlotte to play the Tar Heels in the annual Charlotte game, which I like as a scheduling thing. I like when they go play. I mean, I talked about Auburn and Georgia Tech earlier. I think it's awesome to play the Heels in a midweek game and up there at that ballpark. And there's a lot of alums in Charlotte and people usually come out for it. Don't expect that this time. But they're number 14 in the country. Then it's down to Athens. So you got two schools and border states that you always want to beat in every sport back to back. They're seventh in the country. And that brings me to this point. I mentioned Auburn earlier. They're top five in the country. Georgia has been rolling since they got their new current coach in there. How does Georgia and Auburn pass South Carolina in baseball? You could even say the same thing about Georgia and Vanderbilt in basketball. But we're going to keep basketball out of it for now. How does that happen? I mean, and really, every school in the SEC has. Kentucky used to not be worth three nickels in baseball. So, I don't know. But they're seventh in the country. Come back last day of March for Wofford at home. The Gamecocks beat the Terriers earlier this year at Fifth Third Park. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know what will happen in that game. Oh, and then April 2nd through 4th, as we move into April, the second-ranked team in the country, the Texas Longhorns, come to town. And then Chad Holbrook brings the College of Charleston up on April 7th. That's the next 12 games. Any kind of reasonable prediction there would say 3-9 at best. Maybe you still want here and there. Maybe 4-8. Yeah, so they're going to have a losing record, most likely, overall, and definitely in the SEC. What is it, 34 games into a 56-game schedule and only not three series out of 10 in the SEC? I mean, this is bad. And you know, it'd be one thing if this were a situation, we weren't in the portal era, there weren't a lot of good players on the roster, and it's a build, and you got to take your lumps. And they were out recruiting, again, just to point factually out that South Carolina's dead as far as in-state baseball talent goes, which is shocking to me. Lots of great baseball players in the state. They're all going everywhere else, including one going to Arkansas that's coming in this weekend. It's crazy. Baseball recruiting is a little different than basketball and football. I will admit that, but because you got the pro element, you've got, you know, for a while you had limited scholarships. You know, you had to piece it together. It's a lot like portal recruiting with an NIL budget for a while, but it's a little different. But it's still this program, in all of its greatness, once upon a time was built on in-state talent. I mean, who's Carolina's best hitter right now? It's a freshman from within the state, from T.L. Hanna, Will Craddock. I mean, you tell me. Will Craddock's out there playing his butt off. So, you know, there was a drop pop fly in the infield that led to a 7-run inning last night. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, and players have to be accountable too. It's not just all on the coach, but this is not a well-coached outfit. You look at the base running and the I mean, it's just not. Defense sometimes gets shaky. Pitching staff fell apart. I feel bad for Riley Goodman. I just think that he's off right now. And then the reliever that came in after, I don't know, man. And so Robert Woodard, Ashley Chastain Woodard's husband, goes home with another win for the 49ers. It's embarrassing to have a losing streak like that against a team from the American Athletic Conference that's right up the road. Embarrassing as a program. And like I said, they're not all those losses aren't on Pulmonary. Kingston didn't seem to be able to beat them. But, man, I'm telling you, that's you look at the rough waters ahead and you look at what's happened so far, and you really those how many midweek losses to mid majors now is that's Charlotte, that's Citadel, That's Northern Kentucky. That's Army and that's Queens. That's five. They're 12 and 10. You know, you'd like to be 17 and five because you're still kind of, there's still hope. You know, now you're going to have to run off an amazing run against some of the best teams rankings wise in the country. You know, you probably were kind of thinking, well, we could stay even with them, stay afloat. Because after Charleston, you do have Missouri. It's out there, and that's been a struggle. But, you know, you try to kind of break even, win what you can, and get through this stretch. And your record's still pretty good. Your RPI still, but not now. Not now, man. It's over, unless there's a miracle. I do believe in miracles. I do believe miracles happen in baseball. But like I said, there's no factual evidence it's going to happen, and then there's no faith to be had on my end, folks. I think if you're the AD, if your leadership at South Carolina, the buyout is 3.9 million at the end of the year. You're going to be, what's the difference between paying him not to coach for 2 months and seeing if some kind of salvaging of this investment they made NIL wise, the gigantic operating budget for this sport, which is top 10 in the country. You have a duty to your fan base to encourage them to come support the team. It's a sport that loses money, but you're going to lose even more if there's 100 people there in a 8,000 seat stadium. I think something has to give, you know, and I think that as far as, you know, respect for Paul Menieri and his career and stuff, that's fine. I get that. But that you've got to put South Carolina athletics and the baseball program over, you know, a gold watch and a, you know, retirement tour because it's just not working. And I could see it again if this was a build, even without a younger coach, you know, age is just a number. But you know, you look down the road and you're like, well, you know, they may struggle this year, but they got some good players coming. No, this was a complete win now portal build for the roster that they spent a bunch of money on. And again, either they struck out, no pun intended, with the portal guys, and that's Terry Rooney, his recruiting coordinator, who came in and, you know, this program under Kingston recruited pretty well. Think of all the good players they signed. Came in, replaced the recruiting coordinator with Terry Rooney, who has not won anywhere. And you know, I don't think the man doesn't know what a good baseball player looks like, but maybe he doesn't know who can translate into the SEC. So they're responsible for the players they sign, you know, because they ran a bunch of them off last year, and several of them are doing well at other places. So I don't know. You know, last night for a minute or two, I was like, well, you know, they get back on track. Arkansas struggles scoring runs. They get some great pitching performances this weekend. You know, you get the win, you start to heal, and then a 7-run inning happens out of nowhere, and it's like, you know, you don't have the bats to come back. I mean, you know, it's like that inning where they cut it to 9-8, where the guy was walking everybody, and then all of a sudden, you know, that's it. You know, we're done. Anyway, sad times, but I think if you're leadership, you really have to like look at this and say it's early enough to where you can take, you know, if you don't have hope or faith, which I don't know how you can, and you think, well, you're going to make a change at the end of the year anyway, just go ahead and pull the Band-Aid off because then you have a fighting chance. You know, you may not. This team may be historically worse than last year, even with an interim coach. But at least, you know, the body language changes. I mean, sometimes interim situations work out for a reason. I remember when Sean Elliott took over for Steve Spurrier in football, you know, that team was 1-5 and lost to Citadel, no doubt. But man, that team was dead in the water. They were getting just pummeled. They were about to get pummeled by a lot of teams. And they played, you know, they beat Vanderbilt. They were Tennessee. If it weren't for a late fumble, they could have won in Rocky Top against a good Tennessee team. It's kind of the story of that series. They played A&M, who had blown them out the year before within a touchdown. Had Brandon Wiles not gotten hurt, GM Angus told me one time that he thinks they would have won the game when Wilds got hurt late, it kind of took away what they were doing in the run game. You know, they were 5 points from beating Clemson. Now they got a late touchdown to cut it to five, but that game was very competitive. Clemson was number one in the country. You know, Florida was a game they got behind early, but then came back, made some noise, 24-14. Citadel loss wasn't that good. But that team, my point is, that team played better with an interim coach. You know, for one game in 2020, Mike Bobo's team played a little better for whatever reason on defense against Missouri and lost 17-10. And then Georgia blew them out. And then by the time Kentucky got there, yeah, that was it. But, I mean, you know, the interim coach situation in other sports has been fine. And everybody will use the Justin Parker example at Mississippi State. They didn't end up hiring him, but he started winning out there. Baseball is a psychological game if there ever was one. So, I don't know what to say. I'm afraid everybody's just going to be sitting around here saying the same thing. The ballpark's going to be empty, and you can do serious. This is like running on a flat tire. You need to get the tire changed, but if you keep running on it like that, you could mess up your rims and axle and everything, because it's everywhere. Like, it's a national story. What happened to South Carolina baseball? And you throw that on top of the other sports, and it's just completely unacceptable. Completely unacceptable this year. All right, enough of that. On to football. We had coordinator press conferences earlier this week. A lot of people have dissected that. But, you know, I kind of looked into what Clayton White said on defense and kind of digging into that. Now, the defense this year, I think they have a chance to elevate, you know, and be kind of somewhere in between the 2024 group and last year's group, which was pretty good. I think both groups in 24 and 25 were better than 23 and probably better than 22, too. That was a 22 was a very opportunistic defense, as was 21, but they were sort of limited. You know, all those defenses have been sort of limited, especially in 2022 when you didn't have, you know, you had some guys out with injury or whatever. Nicky Minwore was a freshman that year, started all those games. So did DQ Smith. They hustled, though, and played well. I mean, Clayton White's put consistently decent to great. That's the range, decent to great products on the field. Even at the end of 23, when they figured out, hey, we need to go to a different kind of setup here because of personnel. But I do think the last 2 years' defenses have been pretty good. I mean, the defense kept them in the game. Were they perfect? No. They were significantly better at home than on the road as well. So I think that's something, and that's normal. You know, the crowd makes it's tough for the offenses to operate. And that's kind of why that, excuse my dog, by the way, I do this on Zoom. Zoom updated their thing and I can't find the pause button on record. So I usually just pause it when he starts barking, but I guess that's not going to happen today. I don't know why he's barking. He's been out two or three times this morning already, but anyway, but there are some players to replace, particularly in the secondary, and kind of want to focus on that. There's some battles going on right now and kind of digging into safety, because I know that's going to be a topic of conversation. I don't know that the safeties last year, even with DQ Smith there, this could happen to everybody. Ohio State, maybe it wouldn't happen to Indiana because there's just freakiness going on up there right now. Ohio State, Georgia, whoever. When you lose a player like Nick, he's so rare and he does so many things good, and your safety position is kind of an eraser. You know, that's why they call it a safety. You're going to miss him. Clearly going to miss him. And then I think once Collier got hurt and kind of wanting himself, they missed O'Donnell Fortune as well. But clearly that made a difference in 2024 on the back end. Were the safeties bad last year? No, they just weren't as good as the year before, and they had some limitations. Peyton Williams made some plays. He did not make some plays at times. the whole secondary dropped some interceptions last year, which is fine. I mean, you know, DBs, the coaches will say that the reason they play DB and not receiver is that. Although there were games where the coverage was outstanding. I thought there were games where the coverage, they just got beat. But safety is going to be a spot people are, you know, because of the loss of Nick last year, because it was noticeable. But and like I said, it would have been noticeable no matter who's back there. I think people are going to kind of rush. Number one, you know, because of that, they want to get back to those days, right? You want to get back to having a freakazoid back there. And then number two, there's two young players that physically, I don't know about playing wise, but physically, because you got to be a player too, kind of look like him, you know, in Kendall Daniels Jr. They call him KD, and also Jazavian Currents, the true freshman. They're 6'3", 6'4", guys back there. Right now, though, heading into the fourth practice today, and then we've had three practices, so don't write this in very light pencil with an eraser or a wipey board. I'd say Peyton Williams and David Busey are your starting safeties as of now. Dun, dun, dun. But that doesn't mean that'll continue. Some will ask about Gerald Kilgore because he did have some good plays right there in the middle of the season, good ball skills. He's at nickel now. So he's competing with Quasheed Scott and Jaquel Holman. And that's good. I like that depth at that position because Scott could also get cross-trained down the road, and he played some corner at Kentucky, perfectly capable of doing that. So you may need that, you know. And Torian Gray and now Dre Bly and Khalidin White, they all like to kind of – they like to cross-train guys back there, and you know, especially nickel safety, nickel corner. It's been more nickel corner, especially with Cisse. But with Kilgore in 23, they did play him back. And then it changed the defense when they moved him up and moved Nick back. You know, Nick Emanuore is a very intriguing nickel, right? No doubt. But for some reason, it didn't work. But once they moved Kilgore up as a freshman, I think that solidified things on the back end for them that year. And it continued on through the 2024 season and that outstanding defense. You know, as far as Peyton Williams goes, obviously as an older player and a leader, fifth year out of the state of Texas. They signed him out of the state of Texas. You know, he's done some good things. He's been up and down. What they need out of him is like a lot of other from Jalen Foster, the first game Clayton White ever coached, to O'Donnell Fortune, to Marcellus Dial, to whoever. And it hadn't been universal, but it's been most of the time. They need him to play his best football at the end. Now, is he capable? Yes. Absolutely he is. I think that they're counting on him to kind of be the quarterback back there like DQ Smith was, and kind of because he knows where to go, how to tell the younger guys how to line up, stuff like that. That's important for a safety. When Will Muschamp was here, it was everything for a safety. And I think that's one of the reasons they kind of struggled back there, trying to find guys that had that blend of high football IQ. And if you watch Nick Saban's teams or Kirby Smart's teams, you know what I'm talking about. Plus the athletic and physical ability to play that position in this league. There's not as much on the safeties in this scheme as opposed to the previous scheme, but there is some. And then the more you know, Clayton White said, you know, when they're teaching, it's like, if you can do the A, B's and C's, and he said, Torian Gray said this, then we can get the D's, E's and F's. And the D's, E's and F's are things like what Nick did against LSU, where you switch and limit. It's real creative and good, right? It works, but you have to have a guy that knows everything and then can not just knows and is in the right position, but then is good enough athletically to make things happen. That's important too, is talent. You know, you gotta, you can know all you want. I've seen plenty of football teams, previous staffs through the years at South Carolina where guys are playing and because they know where to go. And I understand that. Because if you have a guy that's a great athlete that doesn't know where to go, the opposing offense is going to just dice you up and kill you. But they weren't there. You know, and they were still kind of, they were what I call athletic liabilities. So you have to have that too. I do think South Carolina's athletes on the back end are good. You know, I think they can match up. they just need to, specifically with Peyton Williams, I think, be more consistent in that part of it, match up better, play a little more confidence, all that good stuff. And last year, starting all those games, that'll help Peyton, I think. I mean, we saw O'Donnell Fortune was kind of the off-season. He's a corner, but kind of off-season whipping boy going into 24. But people were concerned about him, but he ended up being outstanding as a senior. You know, and I just think that there's enough of a track record there to where I talked about hope earlier. You can hope and believe that that could happen. Now, what about the younger guys? And don't forget, there's guys back there like Kelvin Hunter, too, that played some as a true freshman out of West Florence, four-star guy. You know, didn't play as much last year, special teams, all that good stuff. But he's one to keep an eye on as well, definitely. So going into it, you know, if you take those two, And Williams, and then behind them, who's it going to be? Well, I'm looking at Daniels and Currents. Now, one interesting thing Clayton White said during the press conference when he was asked specifically about Daniels is we need him to play great. I've heard Clayton White say this before about players through the years. And you check into it, and I think that when he says that most of the time, and that's why I said right now, this is the safeties. He's talking about a player with immense talent that probably could end up starting, and not only starting, but shining. But they're trying to get him to a level of play where he's not a young guy anymore. Some guys do that naturally, like Nick Emanuore. Some guys, you know, you're getting to year two, and a normal year two, where when they're not being pushed, you know, may look one way, but if they take the coaching and develop and understand, well, this is, I got to go from, hey, again, the A, B's, and C's, the D's, E's, and F's, that can happen. So if you're a little disappointed that three spring practices in, I think only one in pads, that Kendall Daniels Jr. isn't, you know, right now in pencil a starter, don't worry about it, man. It can happen. The cream will rise to the top. The cream of the crop. The best will play. How about that? So then Jazavian Currents, obviously, is a freshman. Now, he was asked about Currents, but didn't really answer. Got into, like, Julian Walker Fest. I think, you know, and we'll see what Torian Gray has to say about him. He's a naturally good football player. He's 6'4", 210. I think he'll be on the field. Will he be like Nick and go out there and start from game two on? I don't know. I can't rule it out. Can't say he will. I could see a rotation. You know, I think it just depends on how much he picks up. But, you know, and we've talked about this, and I've said this too on the show and here, that best case scenario, just from a freaky athletic standpoint, is that Daniels and Currents are your starters. And that may not be the case until 2027. But you think about that, and it's like, man, it's two kind of freaky dudes. And you got height and length at corner. You know, you're kind of setting up to have this basketball you have a basketball team, you know, back there. And so, you know, you got to be kind of excited about that. I think these battles are going to go on and on. You know, it's going to be probably, in my opinion right now, hard for anybody. It's going to be not hard. A challenge to top Peyton Williams just because he is experienced. He did start. He's a returning starter. It's hard to beat out a returning starter. Coaches like returning starters for a reason, talent or not. But, you know, you can also have a guy that's talented that's suddenly ready to go play. And he is taking reps, and there is a rotation. And then David Busey, I've always liked. And I think that guy, he could be better than we think. You know, we may have been a year early on him last year, but he's played special teams both years. Physical player, too. Well, he'll light you up back there. But good in coverage as well. Not elite in coverage. Maybe that's something he needs to work on. But everybody's got to get better, and we know that. That spot to me, though, especially as it relates to Daniels or Currents, could be a little more in question as far as who starts against Kent State. Because if one of those two guys really starts to come on, you know, and they're better, then they'll start. That's a Captain Obvious statement. But so I think that one's a little bit more up in the air. And I think based on, you know, the comments, plus reading the tea leaves a little bit, plus a little bit of tiny smidgen of intel, I think they're looking at Daniels to say, hey, look, man, you need to be good enough to win this job. Because David Busey's not going to relinquish it. You know, he's a pretty good player too. So very intriguing battles at safety. You know, the other spots in the secondary, I think nickel, they brought Quasheed Scott in to start. He's doing quite well, from what I understand. Again, three practices in. Gerald Kilgore certainly could get some reps there. I think maybe more reps there than he got because they like to rotate the nickel. They haven't always had the luxury to do that because the backup nickel last year was a true freshman, unless they slid Cisse in and he played nickel, which he did a lot. You know, this year they've got three guys. They got last year's backup in Holman, who I thought, especially on special teams, had a nice freshman year. Kilgore, who's got some great ball skills and also is physical. His brother played the position, right? He's an older player. And then Quasheed Scott. So I like that spot a lot better depth-wise than I did last season, with the understanding that, you know, Quasheed Scott's a pretty good player, but he's got to take it to another level to make them not miss Jalen Kilgore, especially a healthy Jalen Kilgore. We didn't talk about it a ton because there's so much else going on, especially with the offense. But Kilgore, I think he had hamstring all preseason camp last year, kind of got off to a slow start production-wise. Wasn't anything egregious, but down the stretch, you know, he started playing, starting with that Alabama game. You know, he and Jaden Sellers, gosh, both of them, ironically, had brothers on the roster. Were two that about from that game on took it to a next level, and that's the Kilgore we all know and love, and it's the Kilgore that's going to get drafted. So, it's tough to replace him. You know, it's tough to replace DQ Smith for other reasons, mainly experience and keeping everybody together and how he impacts the entire back end. But Kilgore was he's been special. I've given Hale McGranahan, my former colleague at the Big Spur, a lot of credit for discovering Julian Walker, because he did, absolutely did. Only recruiting guy in the country that knew about him or that talked about him, and he brought it to other people's attention. But I also want to give him credit for Jalen Kilgore, because that's another guy he stood on the table with. So here's my overall thing about Hale. If Hale starts talking up a player that's a recruit, listen to him. Because he doesn't do it often. He's not a guy that's out there hyping everybody, you know. Or he's not like me, where I like to just talk about everybody. Because I'm an old full-time kind of, you know, recruiting guy that did it everywhere. But Hale's got this great eye, two for two with those two. And so Kilgore obviously is a special player, and you got to replace him. Now, corner, concerned. Going in, but again, sometimes you get tipped off about things, and then you listen to it in the press conference, and you're like, ah, you know, they think Jalua Solomon and DeMarcus Leach are gonna be right there. You know, again, those guys hadn't played a whole lot. Leach played some last year. Solomon hadn't hardly played. Solomon was one that said he's getting in the portal, and then 6 hours later changed his mind. Obviously, he was a heralded recruit. Different players take different amounts of time to develop, no matter how good they are as recruits. I mean, somebody told me one time, and I reject this statement because it's just not true. They said, well, five stars should be starting by the time they're sophomores. No. I've seen five stars not start for a long time and then get drafted in the top 10. It's developmental. Now, most five stars do get on the field early. But anyway, you know, Jalua was a four-star guy, top guy, great athlete, big recruiting win. To that point, I'd never seen Carolina beat Auburn on a kid that was from South Georgia, much less one whose brother played at Auburn who was committed to Auburn. You know, Auburn back in the Spurrier era was sort of the bane of Carolina's existence in recruiting in a lot of ways, especially with out-of-state players. So that was good. But and clearly now they've kind of, even with Landon Duckworth, an Alabama kid, they beat Auburn. So I think that when you look at it, you know, this is the year where we're going to see, hopefully, Jalewis on the field. You also got Causey Barnes as a true freshman that I think will be good at corner as well. But I feel better about the depth there just kind of based on, again, the first 3 days of practice. Because you need depth. Look at what happened last year with Judge being out. You know, and obviously from a starting standpoint, you know, Vakari Swain, as good as he was returning kicks and punts at the beginning of the year, kind of set the, you know, set the tone there. He got better and better and better at corner. And so I think he's going to have a great year in coverage. And then Judge, just, he needs to just, you know, wipe away last season and go back to like where he was coming out of 2024. And he's talked about this. There's a great interview with him on 1801 Media, by the way, you need to check out. Jimmy Francis is, yesterday was St. Patrick's Day. We didn't talk about Jimmy Francis. It did a great interview with him. Check that out on 1801 Media. And he talked about trying to get back to where he was. Because they, going into the season, they thought Judge would be potentially all SEC. Yeah, he's a Rock Hill DB, man. We got to expect that. Anyway, so that's the look at the second, a look at the secondary. Well, there's going to be some battles there, obviously, as we move forward. But that's kind of how things stand, because I know safety is going to be a point of discussion, as well as who's the depth at corner. And then nickel, dug into it. Sorry about the dog again. But surprisingly enough, it's, there's a lot of depth there. All right, I got to get out of here because the dog's barking. The morning show has a full house today. The voice of champions, Brad Muller's own former Gamecock baseball player, Will Crow. Matt Smith, Smitty, is in to co-host, and I'm sure they're going to talk a lot of baseball. It's Wide Open Wednesday. That means you don't have to be a club chief member to get into the chat box. We're going to have a bracket challenge, I think. So be sure to get in for that. Get your questions ready for Mad Dog and I starting at high noon. Sports Talk tonight, streaming on the Chief Sports app from 6 to 8. InsideTheGamecast.com for the newsletter. And the site's coming right along, launching sometime in May. Anyway, this has been Coffee with J.C. Sherbert. Hope you have a wonderful Wide Open Wednesday, folks. I'll see you on the show. Holla.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.